is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win your league and have bragging rights on your friends.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Oh, we got a big show today. Jamie's back. How do you feel, Jamie? How do you feel being back behind the mic?
I feel good. I wish I didn't have to talk to you today.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's...
We don't talk enough when you're on paternity leave?
We talk too much.
Too much.
But in good for good reason. No, it's great to be back. I'm thrilled to be back. It's good to see you guys and be here. And I miss talking football with you guys.
Yes, I'm sure there was a lot that went down. So we're going to hear from Dave. And hey, Dave, you're also here.
I am. I actually never left.
Yes, that's right. They were at the owners' meetings, though, and they are back with quotes and notes. Totes! So we're going to talk... Oh, that was so bad. So we're going to talk about it today. Some of their takeaways with Jerick McKinnon, Andrew Luck, Hunter Henry, Packers running backs, Texans running backs, Colts running backs, Titans running backs, all that stuff, plus your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And your voicemails, 954-689-3199. Go ahead and leave us a voicemail. Actually getting a lot now, so I appreciate that. So, Jamie, how's the family?
Family's good. You know, baby's great. I appreciate everybody who, sent notes, tweets, emails, all those things. He's a good little boy. So all three of my my kids are doing well, and wife is doing well. So thank you for asking.
He's a big boy. I got to see him
he's
on
a
Monday.
Big boy.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, I actually saw all three of the boys.
Cool.
Yeah, Dave and I drove up together, so Dave picked me up to go to Orlando for the meetings.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys... road trip. You did know that because we spoke to you.
Yes. Did you guys get I didn't know they saw your new baby,
right.
But did you guys take a picture together on Splash Mountain?
No trips to the theme parks.
Not this time. We've done it before.
We did do it before. We were actually across the street from SeaWorld. We were dropping off our esteemed NFL editor, Kevin. I'm not going to butcher his last name, but Kevin was dropped off across from SeaWorld. So that's the closest we got to a roller coaster.
Oh, all right. Well, I got nothing clever
to say.
But
I'm surprised I didn't get like 15 more questions about Disney from you, given your friends who are going.
Jamie's a Disney expert, so I've got a couple of friends who are going to Disney. They're trying to plan a trip. Who else are you going to ask? You're going to ask Jamie. That's why we're going to ask him about fantasy football as well. So based on the coaches that you talked to, what you heard from them, who stands out as a big winner in your minds compared to 3 days ago before the owners' meeting?
Well, I'll go first. It was good to just reaffirm that Jerick McKinnon is going to be the starting running back for the 49ers. I don't think it was, but it was hammered home. He called him, he's our guy. And he did insist that he is going to use other running backs in the mix, and it's not going to be all Jerick all the time. And he made an argument that even if you're a 230-pound running back, it takes a toll on you getting a lot of touches over the course of a season. So I think he's going to try and manage McKinnon, but Kyle Shanahan's eyes got big and wide when he talked about what he can do as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So we had an interesting discussion about just how many touches and that McKinnon can get on a week-to-week basis, how many carries he could get on a week-to-week basis. I think 15 touches is going to be easy for him week in and week out.
Yeah, he's been the hottest topic. Jake Seeley yesterday, our guest, said he thinks McKinnon's going to be overdrafted. He doesn't buy McKinnon. Jamie, you are one person that we haven't heard talk about the hot topic of free agency. Jerick McKinnon, that big deal he signed with the 49ers. And what do you think? What's your take on him?
Oh, it's easily my favorite free agent signing. I think he's in a great situation, a great spot. He might get overdrafted, but you could say that about a lot of players who are, in different situations, different coaching scenarios. There's always going to be questions about how high they go or where they get selected. But I think it's a great scenario for him to go to a team with Kyle Shanahan, who has a great track record with running backs and running games. He's, a player who can catch the ball in the backfield. In an offense that should be explosive outside of the two games they faced the Rams. I think McKinnon's in a great spot, I think it was the day before he signed. I forget who tweeted it, Rappaport or Schefter, one of those guys, that it was down to the Jets and the 49ers. And I just remember responding, please God, let it be the 49ers, not the Jets. And so it's just a really good spot for him. I don't know if he'll, if he'll live up to the expectations or the hype, and maybe Jake is right, but I think it's just a great spot for him to sort of take the next step for what he's shown in spurts. And so I'm excited about him.
It's interesting that you both have McKinnon one spot ahead of Derrick Henry in standard scoring. Certainly in PPR, I get that. But is that because of the Deion Lewis addition in Tennessee?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Lewis puts a little bit of a damper on it. You know, Derrick Henry was a top 10 guy for me right when the season ended because I expected DeMarco Murray to be cut. And so I still have high expectations for Henry, and he may score more touchdowns. But, you know, you just have to be a little bit concerned that if Deion Lewis stays healthy, there's going to be a letdown for Henry to a certain extent. And we can get into that a little bit after we get going because I did speak to Mike Vrabel about that.
All right, so then, Jamie, who is your big owner's meeting winner?
I think it's probably Deontay Foreman, you know, just based on the fact that Bill O'Brien said he can see him as a starter. He didn't say he's the starter, and there's certainly a role for Lamar Miller. And the way that O'Brien sort of broke it down was, you know, kind of how they used them last year, which was somewhat frustrating. But, you know, he you know, seems to be excited about Foreman. He said he'll be ready for training camp, doesn't expect him to be doing anything on the field in the spring, you know, for the OTAs and things like that. But if Foreman is healthy coming off of that Achilles tear, he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, steal work from Lamar Miller and maybe put Miller on the bench. So, you know, if you're in dynasty leagues and, you know, certainly gravitated toward him last year, you should be excited about him moving forward this year. You know, depending on how his health will go once the, you know, we get closer to the season, you know, he could end up being a great value pick if he's not 100% come, you know, preseason games.
But at this point, we still have to draft Miller ahead of Foreman?
Well, it depends. If you're so inclined to draft Miller, yes, you're going to draft him ahead of Foreman.
Okay. Dave, you never seem to be very inclined to draft Lamar Miller.
No, I get what the coaches have been saying about him. It took me a long time to get there, but I'm finally there, and I agree that Lamar Miller is probably not going to be the answer in Houston.
Okay, then. How about a loser? Dave, who's a loser from the owners' meetings?
I don't have a name for this guy because I don't know who it's going to be, but whoever the top running back for the Colts is going to be is going to have to share the football. I'll give you a quote from Frank Reich.
None of it's Barkley.
Well, this is Frank Reich's philosophy on running backs. He likes, quote, "I like the idea of involving everybody. I think it builds something, and everyone knows they're a significant contributor, whether that's 5 carries a game or 8 carries or 20 carries. When you build a team in that way, I just think that creates a chemistry and a bond that is a good thing." He did admit that he thinks he could have a lead back that plays 60% of the snaps. That would be about 36 snaps a game. That might get you close to 18, 19 touches, maybe. I guess it depends on game flow. Depends on how good of a blocker that running back would be. Now, look, I'd love for them to get Saquon Barkley. I think that would be awesome. Pretty much anywhere Barkley goes, I'm going to like it as a landing spot because I think he's so good. But if he goes to Indianapolis, he's going to have to share. Marlon Mack's going to get in there, take some work away from him.
Yeah. Okay.
And you think back to Philadelphia, just real quick. You think back to Philadelphia. Remember how they never gave Jay Ajayi a ton of work?
But that's such a hard scenario to pin because, I mean, they brought in Ajayi in the middle of the season. And so you never knew what they were working him up for. Was it for the playoffs because they were headed in that direction? Was it, you know, just using the other guys because they had a comfort factor with them? I think if they end up spending their first-round pick, certainly on one of those guys, whether it's Barkley or, you know, whoever the second guy ends up being, I'd be shocked if that guy doesn't get feature type of work. It may not be 90% of the plays, but you heard Reich say in the statement that you read, the quote that you read, could be 20 carries. I mean, if the right guy is there, he's going to get work.
It's not going to make me shy away from drafting Barkley. Let's put it that way. But I don't like that the coach is thinking that way. That even if he had
every
a stud like Barkley.
Every coach thinks that way, though. I mean,
no, there's some that really
said that
like
about
that featured guy.
All of his guys. If you have a Todd Gurley, you're going to lean on Gurley. You're going to lean on a Le'Veon Bell. But if you don't have a guy and they don't have a guy right now, I mean, he doesn't know who it's going to be. So, of course, he's going to say that. Bill O'Brien said the same thing. If you don't have a guy, you're going to say we're going to use all of our guys. I mean, it's just the nature of what coaches say.
Yeah, and we always hear it, you know. Like, we heard right up until the start of the season that Leonard Fournette was going to split carries. And then week one, Leonard Fournette did not split carries. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting philosophy that he said, he, you know, the team chemistry thing, that he wants a lot of guys involved. That maybe he'll – because if you look at Philadelphia, I understand that you can't exactly – you can't exactly say, well, the Jay Ajayi thing, but they did often like Kenyon Barner out of nowhere, or Corey Clement. It was like, it was a little random. It wasn't even before the Ajayi trade and after, I'd say. So you don't want it to be like that. But if they draft Barkley, they'll turn him loose. If they don't draft Barkley, then we'll have to have this conversation again. Jamie, was there a loser that stood out to you?
Yeah, two. Jamal Williams and Chris Carson. Not necessarily because they will be losers or they're going to be bad players, but just based on what the coach has said. McCarthy was very high on Ty Montgomery, unsolicited, you know, and said that they liked what he did last year before he got hurt. And I asked him, you know, is there any consideration to moving him back to wide receiver given the young guys and what they showed? And he said, no, he's a running back and he's a damn good one. And so that makes it seem like it's going to be messy because you knew that they were going to give Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones both work. But now if Montgomery is going to be a significant piece of that, to whatever level it is, third down back, you know, starter, it's just going to make things messy for those Packers guys because all three can clearly play. And I think, you know, at least from my perspective, I was really excited about what Jamal Williams could do. And I think he still can. But, you know, you have to kind of maybe dial back expectations a little bit just given what the scenario could be of all these guys, you know, still sharing the ball. And then Pete Carroll, again, same thing, very glowing about Chris Carson. But then he also talked up Mike Davis, who they brought back on a one-year deal. And he said, you know, Davis really did a lot of the things that we like to see at the end of the season last year. Showed, you know, he'd be a physical runner, showed that he can give them the toughest that they need. And so, again, situation where you're hoping the player that you like, and for me that's Carson and Jamal Williams, that they're going to take the step forward where they might not have it early in the season. It may take a little bit of time before they get that chance to kind of showcase their skills.
So who are you favoring in the Packers' backfield?
Still Jamal Williams. I mean, nothing's changed yet, you know, until we see them on the field. But, you know, it's one of those things where I probably have Ty Montgomery ranked too low right now, you know, just in my initial rankings, you know, because it sounds as if he's still going to be a big piece of this offense, again, in some capacity.
Well, it's going to be interesting what they do at receiver because, you know, they don't have a very deep receiving unit. And I think we're all kind of hoping that Ty Montgomery, even if he's a running back, fills that void, right? Could he be the third leading receiver on the team?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
I mean, that'd probably be bad for either Randall Cobb or Jimmy Graham if that's the case, but.
Yeah. Probably not as many, not as many touchdowns as Graham, but just in terms of yards.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break from the owner's meeting stuff and read an email. Email of the day is from Andrew, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Oh, Jamie. This is something that you in particular should do. After years as a commissioner, I've found the solution that to the draft order question. Instead of assigning picks, my team owners get to choose their draft position. The order they get to choose is based on who pays their league fees the soonest. I had people rushing to get me payment before the season. Last season, the first manager to pay picked number one. He drafted David Johnson. He missed the playoffs. The second manager to pay picked number seven. Said he didn't want the long wait between picks at number two, and he won the league. I like that. You have trouble collecting payment? That is an awesome idea.
I think I have a better track record of that than you do right now.
Except that you're always the one who's supposed to get the money from people, even when
we're
co-commissioner.
Not anymore.
No, you've given that job to someone else.
Yeah, that was, by the way, my greatest accomplishment during my time off was somehow managing to keep you as the commissioner of our baseball league and making Will Brinson now the title holder of collecting money.
Which means
AKA
you are doing
the treasurer.
What? Yes, he's the treasurer.
Treasurer, that's
he, doesn't, he doesn't like that title. I've tried that on him. You are doing what with the league then?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, exactly.
Not even helping you in the draft either.
How about you put players on the DL instead of me? Can you do that for our...
Yes, I'll pick up guys too.
Oh, yeah, no, you have to go and do it for all the other people who are at, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you should.
No,
all right, news and notes. Any player who lowers his helmet is kicked out of football for the rest of his career. Not quite, but will get, if you lower your helmet and make contact with an opponent, 15-yard penalty, potentially an ejection. How about that? That's going to be a lot of penalties.
That's going to be a mess.
Yeah. I don't like the ejection part of it, especially the college thing drives me crazy when they eject people for that.
Yeah.
But I do understand the reasoning behind this. Too many helmet-to-helmet contact. Too much helmet-to-helmet contact.
I believe I heard that concussions were up 13% this past season.
Yeah.
So this is clearly in reaction to that. Obviously, the injury to Ryan Shazier is something that's going to be burned into everybody's heads, and the NFL certainly doesn't want that to happen to more players in the league. It could get sloppy in two ways. One, there could be a lot of penalties called on this, maybe on plays where the defender doesn't necessarily mean to lower his helmet. It just happens to, you know, bang, bang type of play. These guys have been tackling a certain way. And it could also create issues where a defender changes the way he tackles, knowing that he could get kicked out of the game or penalized or whatever for leading with his helmet. And maybe it leads to added yardage. Maybe it's something that could actually help fantasy owners on a couple of plays.
Yeah, good luck, Marshawn Lynch.
And I'll tell you one more thing. The NFL got the catch rule right. And they had momentum for like two whole days after they got this catch rule right. And Jamie and I were in the press conference when they announced what the rule was going to be changed to. I even got clarification on it from the head official, Al Riveron. And it's beautiful what they've done to kind of redefine what a catch is. And now to put this on top of it, it's going to make things it's like you take one confusing issue and you just apply it to something else. At least we now should know what a catch is every single time.
Just wait until a marquee defensive player gets ejected for this. I hate it in college. I really don't mind the penalty thing. One thing I'll say about the number of concussions going up is that it can be random. You know, it could easily go down next year without a.
Well, I think it's also more of an indication of them being aware of concussions.
Yeah, but I remember
there probably were this many concussions, if not more, previously.
Well, who knows how many were reported?
I'm sure there were a ton.
Exactly.
Definitely, helmets are leading to concussions. Helmet to helmet hits are leading to it. There's no question. People have defenders have to stop tackling with their helmet. But I remember this whole thing about Tommy John surgery in baseball. I went and looked it up this morning when I saw this news about the helmet thing, and I think it was 2012, there were 42 Tommy Johns or something like that, and it was like, oh my gosh, an epidemic, and we haven't had that number again since, so I don't know. It's not necessary. You know what I mean? Like, that number could go down, but I still think I like the rule. I just hate the ejection part. It's really going to be annoying. Could lead to some more first downs, though, more offense, you know, 15-yard penalty, automatic first down. Maybe that's the fantasy takeaway. The catch rule has been changed to something still very confusing, but...
No.
It's not confusing at all.
No. Are you kidding? Making a football move? You don't think that's going to be tough to interpret?
What they should change it to is making a move.
Making a football move. It's going to be tough. There are going to be times where like, well, did he really make a third step? Did he do something common to football?
It's much better. It's so much better.
It's better, but it's not crystal clear.
Well, I feel
it's
like
as close to crystal clear as it could be.
And I feel like you're nitpicking the term football move when it's pretty obvious that it's just you're moving. You're doing something else.
All right, we'll see. We will see how it plays out.
Let me just add one quick thing, and this is what I got confirmation on. If a receiver catches a ball, gets his feet down, and puts the ball across the goal line, and then say somebody knocks it out of his hands or he just drops it, that's a touchdown now.
Wait, say it again?
It's almost the fact you catch the ball. Say you catch the ball at the half-yard line.
Uh-huh.
Your feet go down, two feet in.
Uh-huh.
And then you reach across the goal line like a running back would when he's trying to dive for the touchdown. And a receiver does it, but then he does it, and then he drops the ball or the ball gets knocked out of his hands. It's a touchdown.
Yeah. And it should be. I still say that Jesse James dropped that ball, though.
He did, but he put it over the goal line before he dropped it, which is why it's
a touchdown. Oh, that's why it would be a catch?
Right.
Yeah, it's like a quarterback going over the top, a running back going over the top of the pile.
Okay.
Which is how it should be, right? Why should the goal line be treated differently for a receiver or a pass catcher?
Yeah. All right, Minnesota head coach Mike Zimmer said the team still had concerns about Teddy Bridgewater's knee. So I guess that probably gives McCown the leg up for now. Dallas is going to cut Dez Bryant.
That was a good pun.
That was not a good pun.
What?
We're
leg up?
We'll get to the Dez thing, but the whole, why did the Jets sign him?
It's a great situation for any team to sign him, because if he is good or he is right, then you have, you know, young quarterback that still could have some upside.
I guess. All right, so Dez, there's a report that Dez is going to get cut.
So here's my question. They added Allen Hurns and Deontay Thompson, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Dak? He still managed to finish 12th this year. And remember, he had that stretch where the offensive line was in shambles and Zeke was suspended. He had terrible numbers, but he still finished 12th. I think he was 8th the year before, and it's not like Dez was so good that year either. He's done a lot with what he's had. But what are you thinking about Dak Prescott right now?
I think he's a serviceable starting fantasy quarterback and someone you can get late.
Why though? He's been more than that, I guess. So why the
downgrade? And he can. there's really not he's not a bad player by any stretch.
Is he in your top 12?
No.
He's not in mine either.
But there's like 15 to 18 quarterbacks I'd be fine with.
I agree, but I'll tell you, if Dez leaves, then he's not even going to be that high.
Oh, of course.
But does it even matter, though? Because like what I'm saying is Dez wasn't good last year, and Dak was still pretty good.
I don't know how many catchable targets Dez had. Well, I wonder what the percentage is compared to what he had two seasons ago. Now, listen, I agree with you on the flaws of Dez's game. He's not as fast as he once was, and he's definitely still an injury risk. That's not changing, even with Allen Hurns there. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be tricky for Dak to go back to those numbers they had 2 years ago. It could get close, but there's a lot of other quarterbacks I feel better about. Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes, I like both of them better than Dak.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you're drafting Dak with the thought that he's going to be your starter for 16 games. I think he's more of a guy that you pair with somebody else and say, okay, if things are right for him, then I'll ride it. If they're not, I can move on easily.
Couple notes I mentioned on Tuesday's show. By the way, we are recording on Wednesday. I should have mentioned that. You're going to hear this on Thursday. We're recording on Wednesday morning, late morning, early afternoon. So if we miss any news, apologize for that. Ron Rivera said Cameron Artis Payne will get a chance to replace Jonathan Stewart for Carolina. And Dirk Cutter said Peyton Barber is Tampa Bay's lead running back right now. Do you put any stock into Cameron Artis Payne or Peyton Barber having big roles?
No.
Okay.
I spoke to one of the beat writers for the Bucks, and he said what most likely will happen with Tampa Bay is they will address running back in the second round. He thought third round before the Pierre-Paul trade, but second round for sure. So Barber is going to be part of a committee, and he will get work. Artis Payne, I don't have a lot of interest in.
Adam Gase says it's a health thing, not a potential thing, with Devontae Parker. Could he finally emerge?
We've heard that before from coaches in Miami.
We have.
Yeah, they just I think the knock on him is that he doesn't work through his injuries. And when he's hurt, he kind of slows down. Right? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, there's been some question about that for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about him. I'm not sure we know who the quarterback is going to be for Miami this year.
How about Devontae Parker or Randall Cobb?
Parker. Cobb PPR.
Cobb definitely in PPR.
Okay. Devontae Parker, one more. Devontae Parker or Martavis Bryant?
Parker.
Yeah.
Okay. And Sua Cravens, interesting player for the Redskins. He has been traded to Denver. There has been a shipment of mid-round picks involved as well. So Denver is Sua Cravens' new nightmare. Right?
I missed you.
That is a joke. Wes Craven's new nightmare was a movie.
Jamie's ready to go have more babies. Just
all
to
right.
Get out of these jokes.
How do you adopt a kid? Where's the Google that?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about Hunter Henry soon. We're going to talk about Tariq Cohen. We're going to talk about more on the Titans running backs. Julio Jones in the red zone. He got a lot of red zone targets last year and caught only 3 freaking touchdowns. It was weird. But what do you guys make of this Odell Beckham Jr. stuff?
I think the Giants are doing their due diligence to see if they can trade him, and we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. But, you know, they're saying they're keeping him. We'll see how it all plays out. But you know where there's smoke.
Yeah, I think they'll keep him. I hope they keep him.
Last time Odell Beckham was videotaped around smoke, he was videotaped around other stuff. And pizza.
Yes.
I'm nervous that they're going to trade him. You certainly get that sense just based on.
Why are you nervous?
No denial. Because I like him in New York. I like him as the number one guy there for Eli Manning. We know what he's capable of doing there.
I have his jersey, for goodness sake.
Well, I know why, you'd be nervous. I don't know why Dave's nervous.
But you put him in Los Angeles. There's more mouths to feed there. I don't know if the quarterback is as good.
You don't know if the quarterback's good?
I don't know if he's
Jared as good. Goff's better than Eli Manning.
Right now, maybe.
No, maybe. There's definite.
I think I would prefer
to see him in San Francisco, Seattle.
I think if he had a full season, in fact, I saw his numbers side by side with Beckham, without Beckham. It's an enormous difference. If Eli Manning had a full season with Odell Beckham, you might rethink Jared Goff ahead of Eli Manning.
No, what if Jared Goff had a full season with Odell Beckham?
If they both
had a
full
season
with
Sammy Watkins, and
didn't
let go of him.
Sammy Watkins.
No, they're not the same guy. But are they not both deep threats? Are they not both?
I mean,
guys?
I'd rather have Goff. I'm not crazy here.
They're not the same guy.
but
no, they're not.
I stand by it. If Odell Beckham's on the Giants and he's healthy, Eli Manning is going to be surprisingly high.
That I don't necessarily disagree with, but if you give both Odell Beckham right now, I would take Jared Goff 10 out of 10.
Well, we have to give them both Sean McVay, too.
Well, I mean, Sean McVay is a big part of Jared Goff.
Yeah, no, I get that. He'd be great if Beckham were on the Rams. He's amazing. But you know what's weird? Beckham has never finished higher than fourth at wide receiver. And he's never had, he's going to be, I'm guessing, third in most people's rankings, but probably no higher than third behind Brown and Hopkins. He's never had, a 1,600-yard season. He still could.
I think the biggest thing in all of this trade and fantasy value is how healthy is he? Because if he's not back to form, then it's easy for the Giants to trade him if they're going to get great value in return.
Jamie, you see him dancing at Sterling Shepard's wedding?
Yes, that's the same as running routes. I totally agree.
Pretty good. I mean, he's...
It is. Yes, yes.
Yes. Light on his feet, look great. All right, then. Let's get back to what you guys learned at the owners' meeting. So I think we can move on from McKinnon, right? We've beaten that dead horse. But Andrew Luck, Jamie, what do we know about his recovery right now?
I mean, both Jim Irsay and Frank Reich, talked about him throwing the ball. And so that's a step in the right direction. So he seems to be on track to be ready for at least training camp, and that's the biggest positive you could hope for, is that he's back on the field and he's as close to 100% as he could possibly be, because I think he's going to end up being a great value pick. He'll start to rise, average draft position rankings, all those things, as he gets healthier, but I don't think he's going to get back to the level he was at before the injury. So, you could be getting the number one quarterback at maybe the 5th through 10th, maybe lower, depending on, where he goes on in your league or on your draft board. So, if he's right, that's great for T.Y. Hilton. It's great for the, certainly the two tight ends that they have there. We'll see how they address the rest of their wide receiver spot. I don't think Ryan Grant is necessarily the answer as a number two guy. But there's certainly a lot to like about what Andrew Luck and the Colts scenario could be for fantasy if he's 100%. And that's, at least where he's heading right now.
Is there a second wide receiver worth drafting? I know you just kind of mentioned it, but worth drafting? Or is T.Y. Hilton the only Colts wide receiver you think it would be drafting as of now?
12 team league, he's the only one that'll be drafted right now. Maybe again Grant late, but they're not done, I think, with that by any stretch.
I hope they're not.
All right, Dave, I have a voicemail that I'd like to play for you. Are you ready?
Hit it.
Are you sitting down?
Always.
Okay, stand up. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Daniel calling from Sacramento. Love the show. Got one bold prediction. Hunter Henry will finish as a top three tight end this season in fantasy. Thanks guys. Tell me what you think.
He really did stand up. Now you have to sit back down because your microphone.
All right, sitting back down.
Okay. Hunter Henry, top three tight end. What do you think?
Talked with Anthony Lynn about him. And I was actually talking to Anthony Lynn about something else. And it just kind of struck me because it was just him and I talking. I got to ask him about what the hell happened to Henry last year when there would be games where he'd go off and then the next week there would be no targets. And he chalked it up to defenses taking Hunter Henry away. And he expects that to continue to happen, but he did say that they have to do a better job of getting Henry involved, quote, especially in third downs and red zone, it makes perfect sense. The one thing that I kind of took a step back from is I like the Chargers' weapons. I think that they've got so many different guys, they could beat you so many different ways. And Anthony Lynn kind of was modest about it, maybe, and he said, yeah, we're working on it. We're on our way there. So that kind of surprised me. But this is a team that I think can still have a high-powered offense and a lot of really good numbers. And I think Hunter Henry could certainly be a part of it. Top three tight end? Not ready to say that as long as Gronk, Kelsey, and Ertz are all healthy, contributing members of the fantasy football universe.
So I don't have the stat on me, but I think I remember it. There were so many red zone pass attempts. I don't know that I expected to. In fact, I don't. I don't expect it to be the same next year. But Philip Rivers threw 28 touchdown passes last year. And he was among the leaders in red zone pass attempts. So he should have thrown more. And 28 for him was the lowest in 5 years. Keenan Allen didn't catch that many touchdowns. Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry both had a lot of targets. They had about 9 targets inside the 10-yard line. Not just in the red zone, but inside the 10. Rivers, it was actually pass attempts inside the 10-yard line. He was first. Most pass attempts inside the 10-yard line, and he only threw 14 touchdowns inside the 10. So I don't know. I don't know if that was just a fluky thing or what, but they were throwing a lot when they were close to the end zone, and none of the guys on the team had the touchdown numbers that you would expect with that. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but I also thought it was interesting that Antonio Gates had either the same amount or one more target inside the 10 last year compared to Hunter Henry. So we'd like Dave to see Antonio Gates just get the heck away.
I'm looking at Anthony Lynn's quotes from the combine, and he was asked if Antonio Gates wants to come back, is there still a role for him? And he said, absolutely. It's something we haven't talked about with Antonio in detail yet, but he's one of the greatest Chargers of all time. For a guy to take a backseat to Hunter Henry last year, take a secondary role, and still be the leader that he was for our players, it was just very impressive. I mean, they obviously love him, so it's just unfortunate from our perspective that they would still consider, you know, him part of their future plans, because we would like to see. I mean, look, at this point, I think any fantasy player would love to see more of Mike Williams and less of Antonio Gates. So if they go to more of a one tight end package type of offense, at least a little bit more of that, then you get more three receiver sets for them, which would be Allen, Williams, and Williams.
You know what just hit me? He ran down his entire offense, and he didn't mention Mike Williams.
That's funny. I'm looking at it. So the next question at the combine after the Gates question was how important will it be for you guys to get the ball to Hunter Henry more? And he says, we want to get Hunter Henry more involved, for sure. But if a defense wants to take Hunter away, we have to look at Keenan. We have to look at Tyrell. Other directions.
Wow.
This is unbelievable. Go ahead.
Melvin Gordon caught the ball in the backfield well last year. We don't want to force the ball to anybody, but we definitely want to get Hunter more involved.
And he told me, quote, sometimes teams know what you have, and we have Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, Melvin Gordon.
He mentioned Travis Benjamin and not Mike Williams.
Yeah, it's almost like coach and GM are not on the same page at the draft last year, which kind of makes a lot of sense.
Or they're on the same page now when Mike Williams isn't on it.
That's interesting. Well, are you drafting Mike Williams?
No, not in a 12-team league.
Okay.
14-team or larger, I'd take a shot on him, depending on how the draft goes.
I mean, it could just have been an oversight by Anthony Lynn, but that's
pretty interesting. I did see something. Maybe it was in that same conversation from the combine. Where here it is. What did you learn about Mike Williams last year? And he said,
who?
he said, when he's healthy, he can help us win. It's just unfortunate that he was hurt most of the time. It could be one of those things where, you know, unfortunately you saw it with Laquon Treadwell, and you're still seeing it with Mike Zimmer, the constant motivation. Devontae Parker, same thing. The constant talking up of these guys with the hope that something clicks, you know, whether it's outside motivation or whatever they're saying to them face to face. I had a similar situation with what I asked Pete Carroll about Chris Carson. He, out of the blue, brought up CJ ProSize and his inability to stay healthy. You know, these guys that have these injury issues and, you know, maybe motivation issues, you know, it almost seems as if these coaches who are like these hardline type of guys, and Anthony Lynn, I think, is one of them, you know, these lifer assistants that become head coaches, that they just get so frustrated with these guys that can't stay on the field for whatever reason, that it's almost like I'm tired of talking about them.
Dave, you got some info on Tariq Cohen and Chris Thompson, a couple of pass-catching running backs. Who are you more excited about going into 2018, Cohen or Thompson?
I'm more excited about Cohen at this point, but I like them both, and it sounds like Chris Thompson is back to running, getting better. Gruden believes that the fact that he had a taste of success last year will motivate him to do better. And Cohen's going to be just at least as involved, if not more so, in the offense moving forward. Talk to Matt Nagy about just utilization of running backs in general, and you know, he loves finding ways to cater to his players' strengths, and Tariq Cohen's got great hands and great speed, and he's going to find ways to put the ball in his hands in space.
So how about ranking? We'll get into the Titans running backs. Jamie's got the scoop there. How about ranking Tariq Cohen, Chris Thompson, Deion Lewis, guys? I think let's do PPR since that's going to be people's preferred format for them. So Cohen, Thompson, Deion Lewis.
I like Thompson the best. He's shown that he could be a starter in PPR. I take that back. I'd probably go Lewis first because he could still be a feature guy in Tennessee. So Lewis, Thompson, Cohen.
And if that's going to be the case, that's how I have it ranked. I almost like the value on Cohen the best. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm loving Deion Lewis just because I know last year he did great and it's the first time in 4 years he played 16 games. First time in 4 years he's played more than 9 games. So he worries me. He makes me nervous. And Thompson's coming back off the injury. Yes, I have Cohen ranked third of the group, but I kind of like that value the best.
Right. At the, where you rank him and who you're excited about is a little bit different, nuanced there. All right, so let's expand on Deion Lewis, Jamie. What did you learn about the Titans running backs?
So, I mean, Vrabel, you know, I asked him specifically about Derrick Henry, and he, you know, talked about the upside for him as just a big physical running back. The one thing he said about Deion Lewis was, you know, he kind of talked about his versatility of being able to play different roles. So it kind of lends you to believe that Henry will be the starter and probably the guy that runs between the tackles, the goal line guy, which I don't think is any surprise, and probably their fourth quarter guy. Lewis, I think, is going to, you know, be a frustration to the Derrick Henry owner, but I think you'll see Lewis probably still stay in that 15 touch range, depending on how game flow goes for them, because he will be a valuable asset, catch the ball in the backfield. There'll be some games where Lewis is better than Henry, and in PPR, I think you got to look at Lewis as at least an equal, if not better than Henry, because I don't think Henry's going to be a guy that's going to get you 4 to 5 catches a game, you know, where Lewis can. So, Dave alluded to it, you know, the biggest key for Deion Lewis will be staying healthy for, you know, probably 10 plus games, but that's hard to sort of bank on. So, you know, if you're looking at the two Titans guys, to me, it's Derrick Henry in standard easily. And in PPR, it's close.
I hated this signing.
Me too.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, one day they're talking about, oh yeah, Derrick Henry, we're going to get him involved in the passing game. And then they get Deion Lewis and they didn't give him that much money, if I recall.
So, Deion Lewis?
Yeah.
They did.
They did?
It's not a ton, but it was still an alarming amount. I think technically he's a top 10 highest paid running back, but there's a drop off somewhere in the top 5 or 6 running backs that makes it a nice deal, not necessarily extravagant.
4 years, 20 million, 11.5 guaranteed.
Yeah, the guarantee's a little bit high if he actually plays through the 4 years.
I don't know. I want him to be very irrelevant. We want Derrick Henry.
Or I want him to be very relevant. Like, I don't want him to be in the middle.
No, because there's no way that he's going to be, if Henry's healthy, there's no way Deion Lewis is going to be the goal line guy, in my opinion. So
sure.
What is, like, the best case scenario? That he needs to have,
right,
a big total yardage game or somehow score a touchdown. You're never going to know when to start him. It's going to be very annoying if he's relevant. All right, Dave, Julio Jones, 3 friggin' touchdowns last year. Give me some more.
That's almost how I worded it to Dan Quinn. Was, really? 3 frickin' touchdowns? He needs to get a little bit more. I was a little more eloquent than that. And Quinn admitted that that's something that they have to work on. But more importantly, and this is something that I guess I should have realized on my own, Julio's healthy this offseason. And last season he wasn't. He didn't participate in training camp, didn't participate in OTAs. Quinn told a quick story about how he had to keep telling Steve Sarkisian, Julio's really good. Don't worry. You're going to see him out there real soon. You're going to get to use him. And I think it's going to make a difference this year. The fact that he isn't having surgery and isn't slow to come back from it, going to be able to run all offseason long. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt this offseason. And Julio will be back at it, and they're going to work on the red zone stuff. They're, quote, definitely attacking it, according to Dan Quinn. And I would expect more touchdowns for Julio Jones next year, which is pretty much the most obvious statement anybody could ever make.
Yeah, but he still has only had 1 season with more than 8. It's just weird.
Never more than 10.
Never more than 10. And the catches, you know, if 85 is his floor, that's great. He had 88 last year in 16 games, but he had 136 catches in 2015 on 204 targets. That's probably not realistic. Can Julio Jones be a 100-catch guy? Because the last 4 years, he's had 104, 136, 83 in only 14 games, and then 88 in 16 games. Can he be a 100-catch guy, Julio Jones? Will he be?
I think it's absolutely possible.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I think the hope would be is that you had second year for Matt Ryan in Shanahan system, MVP right. year, you know, hopefully second year in Sarkisian offense does wonders for him as well. You know, that'd be the nice thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And that would really help. That would clearly help Julio.
Got a piece of Odell Beckham news if you're interested in hearing it.
You have to ask.
This is from Adam Schefter of ESPN. The Giants have asked for at least 2 first-round picks in return for Odell Beckham. even though the team insists they're not shopping him.
And we have a new tight end in New Orleans.
Ben Watson?
Ben Watson.
Where's he in your rankings now?
Huh?
Top 15?
Top 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that's the only guy that they settle on, but Sean Payton, once again, talked about his tight ends at the owners' meetings. But this time he didn't have anyone to fool me on, so
I stayed away
from the tight end talk with Payton this time.
And what did you learn, Jamie, about the Rams wide receivers?
So clearly there's an asterisk to this because they may be the team that goes and gets Beckham. But I think when you look at who they have right now, I asked him if Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp surprised him at all. And, you know, he talked about knowing Robert Woods since he was a freshman at USC when he went to go scout Jordan Cameron when he was with the Redskins. And, you know, just expecting him to be, he didn't use these words, but, you know, just trying to pick at what he said. You know, I don't think he expected him to be an elite level receiver, but I think he realized he's capable of being a good player. And we saw that last year. And the same thing with Kupp after evaluating him at Eastern Washington. But I asked him, you know, who's going to replace Sammy Watkins, and I was a little disappointed when the way I phrased it to him was, you know, does the way that those two guys played in terms of Woods and Kupp make you feel comfortable with allowing Watkins just to walk away? And does that allow Josh Reynolds maybe to take the next step? And I was telling this to Heath Cummings, who's, you know, big Josh Reynolds fan, and he kind of just lumped, you know, not to the same level of Mike Williams with Anthony Lynn, but he kind of just lumped Reynolds in with Farrell Cooper and the other Mike Thomas and Tavon Austin, and kind of said, you know, we just hope one of those guys steps up, you know. So again, it kind of puts a little bit of a damper on what maybe could be a good late round sleeper in Josh Reynolds, who had a couple good moments last year as a rookie, but, you know, yeah, could be good value pick if he does end up taking that X wide receiver spot for the Rams. But clearly they're going to be the team, I think, that everybody looks at and says Beckham is in play for them.
Do you need to see them get an outside receiver to feel good about Jared Goff? Watkins didn't put up big numbers, but he still is Sammy Watkins, and they don't have him now. Do you think that you're going to need to see them add somebody to feel good about Goff this year?
Well, he did score 8 touchdowns.
He did, yeah.
That's got to count for something, right?
Sure.
The yardage sucked, but touchdowns weren't bad. I think they need more speed. Even though Robert Woods was surprisingly fast, we know Cooper Kupp isn't. Those guys are definitely more in the mold of bigger dudes with great hands. And I do think they need to find a speed element, which Beckham would certainly provide.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Let's get the draft started already. I'm ready for that. You guys ready for fantasy baseball?
Yes.
Yes. I mean,
me too.
What's that?
You ready for some CBS Sports HQ?
Yes.
You were just on it, right, Dave?
Sure.
I was.
What were we talking about?
I was doing, actually, it was kind of a quasi-pilot of a mock trade discussion between myself and Will Brinson, where I was the Giants and Will was the Rams, and what it would take for the Rams to get Odell Beckham. His opening offer to me was 2 third-round picks and a 4th-round pick.
What?
Yeah.
What a jerk, Will.
Yeah, I called him out on that one. And then asked for 2 first round picks, a 3rd round pick, and Cooper Kupp.
You know, he actually...
I was equally ridiculous.
Let me tell you how big of a jerk he is with that trade offer. And Will's actually a great guy. But he wrote an article for the website about this potential match of Beckham to the Rams. And he even proposed what the trade would be. And he said 2 first round picks. And then he goes on the air and he offers you 2 third round picks?
And a 4th round pick.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes
everything.
Yeah,
the way he kind of framed it was, I'm taking this problem off your hands, and I'm going to pay him. So here's this pile of lame-ass picks.
Yeah, weak.
Right. His final offer, he came up from that. His final offer was 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick.
That's exactly what I think he wrote in the story. So at least he finally got
there. I turned
it
down.
You did?
If I were the Giants, I would turn that down.
Yeah. 2 first-round picks when they're in the 20s isn't so great.
Right. That's the whole point.
Plus, really, the first-round wide receivers – other than that year, which was the greatest wide receiver year ever, basically, the Beckham-Evans year, the first-round wide receivers have been largely fantasy busts in recent years. It just has been a bad position for fantasy. It's strange.
Something I overheard people talking at the owners' meeting about how next year's draft class is loaded at wide receiver.
Oh, yeah?
Because this year isn't a great year for wide receivers. You know, there's a lot of good players and some potential very good players, but I think next year's draft class at wide receiver is supposed to be it, tons of really good players.
But it all depends on what the Giants want to do. If they're going to compete now, you don't trade Beckham. If they're getting two first-round picks, no matter where they are, you have to take that if you're rebuilding.
The fact is, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I'd take two picks on the 20s.
But then you're what's the problem with getting two first round picks no matter where they are?
I mean, you know the obvious answer is that picks in the 20s aren't nearly as good as picks in the top 10. You know.
But if you're not getting that and Beckham walks, why would you not take something for it when you get value for value?
I don't think he's going to walk. They can franchise him for two straight years. So they have control of him for three more seasons, including
2018. I'm sure that will go very, very well.
Hey, whatever. He wants his money. He has to show up. You know, they have all the control. So he can talk about walking all he wants, but this happens all the time. How, you know, it's happened with Le'Veon Bell. Guess what? He was a Steeler last year. He's going to be a Steeler this year. Almost certainly.
It almost never plays out in favor of the player.
Very
of
rarely.
Course.
Very rarely. Plus, the other thing with these guys, is especially Beckham, is that he's so popular, and you do have to think about that with the fan base. So, a lot to consider there. All right, let's hear from the peeps. Voicemails and emails, 954-689-3199. Wait for it to finish ringing. Leave a message. Give us your name and your city. No keeper questions, please, unless they're very, very simple. Here's one from Reed.
Hey, guys, this is Reed from Upstate New York. Adam, you need to stop wavering in your belief of Carson Wentz. There was other haters on there talking about his efficiencies, not sustainable, and all those other things. This isn't a Matt Ryan situation where he's had years and years of par, you know, average numbers, you know, pointed by one amazing year. This is his second year in the league, and the third year is going to get even better. So don't give up faith in Philadelphia's prodigal son.
Philadelphia's prodigal son. All right, I'm only wavering because of the knee. I'm not wavering because of the talent or the regression or any of that stuff. So just so we're clear about that, it's just the knee.
They seem optimistic that he'll be ready to participate in some portion of the preseason activities.
Here's
I don't know if that
thing.
Necessarily means a game, but mid to late August.
But
return.
Here's what I struggle with. Cam Newton... It seems as though he struggled with the shoulder all season, right? He was ready. He played week one, but the shoulder injury hurt him. Joe Flacco with his back, you know, I don't know that Carson Wentz is going to be 100% all year. It might not be until 2019 where he's fully healthy, and the legs are really a big thing for him. So that's just something to keep in mind. Even if those injuries go away, enough so the guy can play, it doesn't mean they've fully gone away. Do you guys feel that way?
Well, I
was enough of a track record with quarterbacks to suggest that
sure.
Those guys bounce back pretty well. Now, maybe not the running ones. So if you're worried about Wentz, you probably should be worried about Deshaun Watson too. But
Wentz tore his MCL also though, right? Did Watson?
Yeah,
or was it just ACL
right.
for Watson?
Correct.
Yeah.
What would it take for you to feel better about Wentz? Seeing him practice.
Well, I still feel pretty good about him. I'm not taking him 10th, but I don't know. I guess it would have to be seeing him run in the preseason. You know, seeing him move around and the reports. So I just never know how healthy these guys are. It's tough. It's why spend an early round pick on a quarterback you don't love when quarterback is so deep?
Then you don't.
Yeah, kind of comes down to that.
In fact, you really shouldn't.
All right, here's one from Lee.
Hey, Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. This is Lee from Huntsville, Alabama. Keeper question, half-point PPR auction-style league. I can keep Michael Thomas for $1 or Kareem Hunt for $3. Thanks, appreciate it, and love the show. Take it easy.
Ooh,
wow.
Thomas for $1 or Hunt for $3?
I would lean toward Hunt. I would draft him before Thomas in a half-point PPR. The difference of a $2 value means absolutely nothing to me. You're getting a great deal either way.
Yeah, if it's 1 year, it's Hunt. If it's multiple years, it's Thomas.
Okay. And one more voicemail.
What's up, fellas? This is Alec in Birmingham, Alabama. I had a quick dynasty question for you guys. So my commission's pushing for an expansion in our league of the
we've been in the past 3 years, trying to go from a 10 to a 12-team league. I am not in favor because my team is rebuilding, and I'm crossing my fingers that I win the Saquon Barkley draft lottery. Right now, it looks like the two new teams will automatically get the first two picks and go on from there. My questions are, should this new team be added this offseason or in, say, 1 to 2 years when the league is prepared? And if they are this offseason, how should we go about the draft or their team building? Thanks for the help, guys. Love the show. War Eagle.
All right, Zach. Thank you, Auburn fan. So Zach is in a dynasty league that is going from 10 to 12 teams. He's not happy because he wants Saquon Barkley, and the two new teams are going to be given the first two picks. What would you recommend in this situation, guys?
I'd put him at the end.
You wouldn't let the two new teams have picks one and two?
How do you incorporate two new teams into a dynasty league when so many players are kept?
Well, it's an expansion draft that you're going to have first, and you probably need to have it before you have your rookie draft, where the two new teams get to pick over, obviously not the best players from the other 10 teams.
No, you have each team designate whatever amount, five players that are eligible to be drafted, or 10 players are eligible to be kept, and everybody else is available on their roster. I mean, they have to, put players on a chopping block that should be able to be taken.
Sure, yeah.
But they should do something to protect the best teams in this league from losing multiple players. So, for example, Maybe the rule should be that each new expansion team shouldn't be allowed to take more than one player from the other existing 10 teams.
No, it's got to be you have, if it's a 20-man roster, you have 15 players to protect. Pick your best 15 players.
Yeah, but then the two new teams are going to get absolutely nothing.
Okay, so then it's 10 players to protect, and then you get 10 players in every
roster.
That's
better, but
it's take away from.
I would probably put that number inside of 10.
I'm not putting a number on the best team gets to keep 12 players and the worst team gets to keep 5.
No, not that at all. But.
No, I think maybe it's a 10-team league, right? So probably you could put in a rule that says no team could have more than 2 players plucked from their roster.
And they should each be able to protect, let's call it 7 players.
Yeah, whatever the number
is. 70 players out of the player pool. And they lose a max of 2 players per team.
So, just to give an example, Dave and I are in a dynasty league together. Adam's the team that you and I share. And we were going over the rosters yesterday. There are some teams that have stacked rosters that are going to have a tough time making cuts to get the rookies that they want to hold on. And there are other teams that probably could use not just it's an IDP league, so not just the 6-round rookie draft, but a 10-round rookie draft, so. In this scenario, if we were adding 2 more teams, the teams that are loaded are going to clearly be upset about the players they're going to lose. It's just the nature of what it is. So in this scenario, a 10-team league, there should be availability. But I wouldn't punish the owners that, maybe put themselves in position to get the first overall pick or the top couple of overall picks in the rookie draft by adding the 2 guys at the top. Maybe you reshuffle it somehow, but don't just arbitrarily put them at the top of the draft board.
Gotcha. All right. So emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right. This one really bothers me. Really does. This is from Luke from Chicago. Dear Sister Jean, Custer, and Ingram. You know them? Dave, you should know Sister Jean.
Yeah, that's Loyola Ramblers, correct?
Yeah, I'm so bothered by this.
Aren't you? I am too.
I don't think we should really get into it. Ordinarily I'd be all about it. It's a great story. It should be Miami. They were better than them. They got lucky.
I don't know if it should be Miami.
They got lucky. They got lucky 2 out of 4 games, whatever. Luke's question. Honestly, no, you're right, Luke. He says, go Loyola. Go Loyola. Good luck. Congratulations. That is awesome. Great for college basketball. I was offered Dalvin Cook and Allen Robinson for Jerick McKinnon and Amari Cooper, a standard scoring league. Would you give up McKinnon and Cooper to get Cook and Allen Robinson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
For me, it's not even. For me, it's like in a heartbeat.
I feel like Cook is the best player in the deal.
He is.
The drop-off from Cooper to Robinson isn't really that
big. Might not be any.
Exactly what I was going to say. And McKinnon's good, but it could go really quick.
Cook is still younger than him, too, even though he's coming off the ACL tour.
Yeah, and it's standard scoring, and McKinnon's probably going to be better in PPR. Not better than Cook, just better. This email's from Terry. Where's Terry from?
Birmingham, Alabama.
All right, Terry from Birmingham. Actually, he's from Kentucky. Not sure if my idea is original, but I work at Churchill Downs. I suggested to my league that we do this. We already have our draft order for this year, but I said we should, in the order we are set to draft, choose horses in the Kentucky Derby. There are 20 horses that run each year, so plenty for our 12-team league. And our final draft order is the order that our horses come in. It adds to the fun. What do
That's
you think?
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, we have had this before, but still, it's very, very fun. And you know what? I think we should do it in one of our leagues that we know we're going to have, like the two quarterback league. Like, just set it up now and let's do Kentucky Derby. I don't think Jamie's going to do that. Just a guess.
Why wouldn't Jamie do that?
We just don't know who's. We just don't know who's in the league, so it's a little tough.
We can figure it out right now.
All right, you can commission it. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
set it up.
No Kentucky Derby. No Kentucky Derby. We'll do like a NASCAR race later on in the year. Thank you all for listening. Jamie, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Yes. And Dave, you know, whatever.
Whatever, dude.
For Dave, for Jamie, I'm Adam. See you later.
Na, 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 na.
Bye. It's on.